It's episode 21 of Chefs on the Pass, the Craft Guild of Chefs official podcast. Let's go! And we're recording today from the crypt at Fortnum & Mason, right in the middle of National Chef of the Year launch day, and I'm joined not by one guest, but two absolute heavyweights of British gastronomy. Three Michelin-starred chef Mark Birchall and Michelin-starred chef Tom Shepherd, now chair of the National Chef of the Year judges and chair of the Young National Chef of the Year judges, respectively. We chat about graft, doubt, ambition, the reality behind Michelin success, and what they're really looking for in this year's competitors. They're candid and humorous throughout, so make sure you hit that subscribe button and come right on in. Hello and welcome to Chefs on the Pass, the Craft Guild of Chefs official podcast, hosted as ever by me, Phil Street. We are in the midst of the National Chef of the Year. In fact, we had the launch event today, and we are, well, delighted to have with me not one guest, but two guests, and that is the chair of the National Chef of the Year judges and the Young National Chef of the Year judges, Mark Birchall and Tom Shepherd. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
This is very weird for me to be interviewing two people at once. So yeah. Let's see how it goes. But yeah, how are you guys?
Yeah, not bad. Tom finally turned.
Found a place in the end. Yes.
I was all right. I had a nightmare this morning, but listen, I'm here now, so that's all that matters.
I'd heard that you got into London at 10 o'clock or something like that.
I was marking it for
a little coffee and a bit of breakfast before he got here. Yeah.
I had a nightmare, honestly. Yeah, fire on the line and had to swap trains, and then that only got far as Wembley Park, and then got a taxi from Wembley Park. So
great. Yeah. Welcome to London.
Oh, that's what I mean. So I'm probably never going to come back again, actually, to be honest. So, yeah.
I stayed last night. He's
golden boy, aren't he? So, yeah. That's why you're the National Chef of the Year and I'm only Young Chef of the Year.
That's what 3 stars get you.
Literally. Yeah. Fucking hell.
Yeah, indeed. But, welcome. Anyway, welcome to the crypt of Fortnum & Mason. Bet you thought you'd never be doing a podcast in here, but
yeah, it's always existed.
Not me neither. Yeah.
I bet there's loads of these on the streets in London.
Without question. Yeah. But for the two people out there who might not know who either of you are, maybe just give a quick overview. Mark, as the 3-star amongst us, you should probably lead off.
I'm Mark Birchall. I have Moorhall Restaurant in Orton, Lancashire. That's up north. That's north of Birmingham.
Further away, you mean?
Yes, 20 minutes north of Liverpool, 45 minutes west of Manchester. Nosebleeds everywhere.
Tom.
Yeah, and I'm Tom Shepherd, restaurant owner upstairs in Lichfield, Staffordshire. The only Michelin-star restaurant currently in Staffordshire, but I've heard quite a local restaurant may have one. I may have received an invite for next week, so
I'm going to try and get
it in there where I can.
That's good. Well, for context, we are recording a week out of the Michelin reveal, right?
Yeah. See, rumour mill.
Yeah. Well, hopefully. I mean, joking aside, Lichfield, it's the north, isn't it? So more the better in the north.
Totally agree, mate.
More the better in the north.
No, I do agree, for sure. Yeah. It'll just give us a bit of an impetus to push on as well further. So
for sure. It definitely inspires, without question.
Of course it does. Well, when you reach the pinnacle, it's easy to say, isn't it? You know, first fodder.
Some of us are 1 star.
We'll get there one day.
All of the others. just maybe if you could either, again, I'll come back to you, Mark, just give us a kind of snapshot of you in terms of how you've ended up here. How did you become a chef in the first place?
When I was 13, 14, I just like cooking. I enjoyed the classes at school. It's starting to become popular on television. So Gary Rosie had a fantastic program. There's Food and Drink, Ready, Steady, Cook. The chefs that were on there at that time were good chefs. They had restaurants. They weren't just TV cooks or anything like that, which a lot of them are now. So I think it was that. You know, I didn't have some romantic, upbringing with a culture of food and grandma baking in the kitchen and all that. It was as simple as that.
Right. Yeah. Well, I suppose.
And I just wanted it. I wanted to be a chef. I did my secondary school work experience at a local hotel. Loved it. It was only a week. I was buzzing about it. I got a little job in the summer, washing up and started a bit waiting on and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, and just went to college and just worked through it. I didn't do much work, but the work I did was out of college part-time and got paid some money and, just enjoyed it. And just best advice I got was make sure you always take a better job.
Fair.
and I tried to do that. I've not had loads of jobs, but I just tried to do a little better job each time, you know, from that pub to that local hotel to the walnut tree, and just kept moving
progressing
forward.
What do you do after 3 stars then, if you keep trying to get better?
Try and keep sanity.
job number one,
I mean, we're 8 years old, we're 9 years old in March, so we're a young business, so we're still, you know, strengthening that business. We want to make that business the best it can be, just again like it's always been, just improving every day, making everything better, improving the guest experience, you know, the team, look after the team the best you can, and just try and improve. Nothing crazy. We might try to start making a bit of cheese this year, maybe in the dairy if we can, get that going. That's been the plan from day one, but with COVID, it just kind of kiboshed that a little bit, and we focused on the charcuterie.
Yeah. Was there a moment, I will speak to you as well, by the way. Realised that this is, you're surrounded by hospitality people, because the water glass is never empty. Like, I was getting it down there and it just got refilled without even asking.
Yeah.
Was there a moment in your career where you started to think to yourself, I might have a skillier that I could really kind of see where it takes me?
Actually, no.
Still try to find
I definitely don't think I'm the most skilled chef in the world by far. But I've always worked really hard. I've worked as hard as I can, and it's not always gone to plan. It's like you always hit hurdles. You think, especially younger, you think maybe it's not for me.
Yeah, you do. You definitely
get a bit of advice along the way. You're good at this or whatever, and you just keep going. But I always worked hard, I grafted, and tried to learn as much as I could. Just worked all the hours under the sun when I was younger and just kept going. There's definitely more skillful chefs, out there.
Right.
Tom.
No, BI.
Well, let's come to you, Tom. Same sort of questions, really. How did you end up in the kitchen?
It's actually fascinating listening to Mark, because I've known Mark for absolutely years. He's always been a bit of an idol. He's always been quite a few sort of steps above me, if that makes sense. He's alluded to always pushing himself. I first met or first known of Mark when I actually went to the Lake District when I was 21. I was 21 when I first went there. It was my first move away from home. It was my first Michelin star restaurant. And then there was Lancôme that was in Cartmel?
Yeah.
In Cartmel. Yeah. It was like 2 Michelin stars at the time. And just won 2 stars, I think. And Mark was head chef there, and I knew of him and I knew of the place. And we ate there actually. In fact, it's quite a strange thing, but I was on breakfast. At the Samling the day after we won a Michelin, or the day we won a Michelin star, because it used to come out, it used to literally come out online or in the Red Book. It was quite romantic back then. And got a phone call off Mark about it. I was in breakfast. It was probably been about half eight, and he just said I answered. And he just said hello. He said who's that? I said oh, it's Tom. And so he said who are you, the head chef? I said no, I'm sous chef. He said I just wanted to say massive congratulations, and if you want to bring your head chef at any time for lunch, we'd love to cook for you. And I was just like, thank you. So I was shaking. Thank you. Yeah, literally, I was like, thank you so much. I knew who he was. And then Ian came in, and I think the very next day we went for lunch. I think we got the award on a Wednesday, and then Thursday we went in, and I still remember the lunch now. It was like, it was really memorable. Like the whole experience was really memorable, where it was, the delivery, how relaxed it was, and just everything about it was quite sensational. And that was probably, we weren't a star, and to be quite honest, I was almost ready for the next stage after that. I always felt like, actually, I want to push myself further. So a 2-star came after that. It wasn't Lancôme, to be fair, at that point. I think I was sort of done with the Lake District at that point as well. I've been there 2.5 years.
It's quite rainy, isn't it?
Yeah, it's got its own way, mate. It's wet. But I thoroughly enjoyed my time there. But alluding back, so it was quite interesting to hear, Mark, because actually our stories were quite similar. I wasn't as interested in cooking at such a young age. I sort of fell into it through the sort of the culture and the camaraderie of it, actually. So I was just obsessed with sports when I was at school. And I have no romantic stories at all with baking with Nan, Mom, whatever. I'm a single child. And also, I was raised by a single parent, my mom. So it was just very much like dinner for two every single night, to be fair. But my mom was used to cook home food. We never used to have takeaways.
Right.
We never used to have microwavable meals. They used to be proper dishes. And I think I was probably spoiled, actually. And then so going into like the sort of the hospitality trade, because that's essential, which I think a lot of, I would say 50% of teenagers do after school or even during school, they go hospitality. Your mum and dad say, you know, go down the local pub or go down the, we obviously get it now as an employer. And I did, and I actually just really, really enjoyed it. So I like, did what Mark did. I did a bit of restaurant, did a bit of bar. And then when I went into the kitchen, I just absolutely loved it. And but the weird thing with me is, I don't know if this happened to Mark as well, I had a natural ability, and that which obviously I didn't know existed. So when I started to actually find cooking relatively comfortable, and I was seeing people a lot older than me around me just finding it quite difficult, I was like, am I fucking missing something here? But then you had the head chef, who was an incredible head. My first head chef was incredible, I'd say that. Like, if you've got an amazing, supportive head chef, I think that's invaluable at the start.
Yeah, for sure.
And I had that. And I tried to be the same for young chefs coming through. And for me, he just believed in me. He said, Tom, you need to seriously consider this as a career. And I was 18, and I was just, I've considered it since that day. 19 years later, you know, I'm sat here.
Yeah.
Yeah, chairman of the Young Chef of the Year.
It's going all right.
It's gone all right, mate. Yeah, it has gone all right. Yeah, for a lad, well, I did an apprenticeship after that. So like Wayne, who was my head chef, just said, I wouldn't bother with college. Yeah, I don't know, it's probably the wrong thing to say here, but he was, that's his opinion. He was like, don't worry about college, stay here, and we'll get you an apprenticeship. And I did. So I did one day a week at college, and then obviously 4 days a week at Newhall Hotel. And it was lovely, and I couldn't wait to finish, to be fair, in my level one and two, and just got straight into full-time work after that. And like I said, did 3 years there and then went to the Samlin.
You raise a good point, though, around, like, there is no right or wrong way to do this, right? I mean, there is just your way, whatever makes sense.
Absolutely.
To you.
I think the most enlightening thing about Mark is the irony of that. I mean, it's, I know I've joked about it with 3 stars. I think 3 stars is, you know, I think with Mark, it's my opinion, certainly not Mark's, but when we first heard about Moore, I was actually working at a restaurant in Nottingham at the time, where we'd taken a couple of chefs in front of house that were going to work at Moore Hall. I think Mark had sent them out to kind of get a knowledge, which I thought was a fucking incredible idea. We do similar. A couple of guys have gone to Moore Hall actually upstairs. But what I thought fascinating about the setup was it was very sort of, Mark had got a vision, and the vision was top tier vision. It wasn't like a restaurant opening. It was a bit far, but that it had a whole story. It had a whole reasoning. It had as you turned up, it had an experience from the moment you turned up. In a restaurant, you can park in a fucking Painters Bay car park, walk to your restaurant, have your meal, and then go back to said car park. I think at Moore Hall, it's very different. So his sort of outlook then was totally different. And I was at this 2-star restaurant at the time. And even that was very similar to what it is. They have an experience, but at the same time, it's you do park in the car park, you do what you're doing, and that's about it. But Moore Hall was clearly destined for something so greater. So to then hear Mark turn around and go, there was a moment in my early career where I was thinking, is this right for me or not? I'm not too sure. To then think he's got 3 Michelin stars is quite remarkable.
Yeah.
And I had that exact same thing. Yeah. I remember being 22, 23, and I was like, I'm just not sure this is right for me. The hours were hard. I was like Mark, I literally no stone unturned. I give 100%. I've worked a ridiculous amount of hours. But you always know it's going somewhere, and you sort of have belief that you do this and you put this in, you think it's gonna come back to me at some point. But to hear a 3 Michelin star chef like that, you romantically think that these guys are actually robots and they're destined to do nothing else. But the fact that, you know, he actually questioned that early on is quite pleasant, actually.
I think when it becomes, you know, when it is your own, you know,
different,
like
yeah.
you upstairs, it's different. And it's you, it's your life. And when you're doing something for yourself and you're
building
your life, you do everything you need to do to make it work and get it to wherever, whatever that vision is, to get it to where it needs to be. You know, it's the same for you.
So like, true, mate.
You've just completely revamped your restaurant, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah.
And like, you're doing everything.
Yeah, yeah, no, I agree.
To make that happen.
Yeah. I actually walked up.
It's not a hobby.
No, of course it's not. It's a passion.
Yeah,
it's a passion and a desire as well. But, you know, I walked upstairs with my wife, and she was absolutely could not believe how it looked. And I had the restaurant. Well, I had October 21 we opened, so I had the restaurant just under 4.5 years. And I walked up in January, and I said, "It's finally the restaurant I always wanted."
Really, right?
And because it wasn't because the funding was the big thing. I didn't want to take a loan. I didn't want to take a loan at all when I first opened. I didn't want to be in debt. I'm very fortunate that my dad owned the property, but my dad owned the property when I first moved in. He's retiring now. And, I, you know, there was no pressure from the landlord. Don't expect him payment straight away. There was no down payment. My dad just said, get your business up and running. The jewellers is doing okay.
But Mark's absolutely right. I think it took us that long, and I look at it now, and it's like, this is, I've had chefs come to upstairs, and I've always, there's been a little thing in the back of my mind, next week's always better, or the week after is always better, next month's better, next year's even better, don't you know what I mean? Because you know where you want to be, but it just takes time to sort of get there. And I think for me, this restaurant almost, I would happily welcome anybody now. There's still things we need, we're still waiting for the chairs to turn up because certain transportation issues and stuff, but I'm very proud of it now. And I was always proud, but I knew we were better. I knew I was better. Yeah. And now I feel like I've got the restaurant that sort of suits my ambitions. And now we can really start detailing the food.
It's that natural thing, isn't it? Like myself and yourself, you always want to be better.
Yeah, you do.
You're proud people. And you just want to make it the best it can be.
Absolutely.
And enjoy it as well. And like, you want guests coming in, buzzing, and just going, leaving and thinking, when can we go back?
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah, yeah.
Almost before they've left, they want to book again.
What a position to be in.
Yeah. Anyway, we should probably talk about the competition, shouldn't we?
Yeah.
We've got to give the room back in about 5 minutes or something. talk to me about the process of how this all happened. Like, in terms of, did somebody give you a call and say, do you fancy it? And you said yes, and here we are.
Well, I've judged it a couple of times in the past, so I kind of knew a little bit about the competition. And David Mulcahy messaged, and he mentioned about potentially taking over as chair after Matt. Obviously, Matt's just opened his new restaurant, so obviously he's quite busy.
Is he?
Yeah, understandably. I judged this year, and we chatted further, and I thought, yeah, it's a great opportunity to get involved. It's not a competition I ever entered. I did the Northwest Young Chef one a long time ago. I came runner-up to someone, didn't do very well. I didn't do another competition after that for a long time.
still to this day holding it.
That's basically how it came along, and I just thought, it'd be great to get involved and try and help and keep it going, because it's been going since 1972, is it?
I think it is.
So it's an old competition, and it needs to keep going. It needs people like myself and Tom to, I don't mind saying, keep that profile up and keep it going and attract people to it, because it's a big part of the industry.
For sure. Yeah, I mean, maybe number one UK culinary competition.
It's definitely up there. It's up there with the Roof Scholarship. Yeah, yeah. You've got the MCA, which is, it's not a competition, that's more of an award, but they're great
for the industry.
And they can really give people a big boost.
Yeah,
for sure.
A big boost.
Yeah. What about you, Tom? How did it come about?
The exact same as Mark. I've been fortunate to judge the past three National Chef of the Years as well. After we won a start upstairs, David gave us a call and said, do you want to come up and we'll come down and judge this year's National Chef of the Year. On top of that, we'd won, as upstairs, had also won the Craft Guild's new restaurant of the year as well of that year. So we sort of, I was welcomed into the Craft Guild as well, which is amazing. I think they're amazing people who are all involved with it. So, I was asking, to be honest, it was a bit of an honour. It was exactly what Mark's alluding to. I think it's in our world, you've got certain aspects of box ticking. Do you know what I mean? And a lot of them are opportunities that you don't really have power over. You just put yourself in a position, hope that you may get that phone call. And this is very much like one of those, as is the Roof Scholarship. I think Mark's obviously one of the chairs of the Roof Scholarship. I think for that's almost it's incredible to get into, because they've certainly got their round table of chefs that obviously do that. So for me, with Craft Guilds, it's very much the same. I think as soon as David asked me, I was honoured straight away. And to be honest, the answer was already,
think twice,
already done. Yeah. I didn't need to. I thought, well, I remember turning to the guys at work. I was at work and I said to Mark, I said to Michael, my head chef, I was just like, they've just asked me to be chair of the Young Chef of the Year. And he's like, that's fucking amazing. It is. I feel very honoured to be here. And equally, I think a lot of, whenever I do events, a lot of the young talent actually come over to us. I think they, obviously watch Grovish Menu or Saturday Kitchen or whatever it might be, and see me and probably think, actually, age-wise, I'm probably one of the younger sort of guys who are able to get onto there. And I think they probably do respect me and want to look up to us a little bit as well, which is great. And from a national perspective, you can't get any higher than Mark. So
And note that you've got the Desperate Dan Beard going on now.
No.
Is that on brand for the...
Yeah, it's a bit short, actually. I've put it a bit short. Yeah, it's a bit cold over winter. So, definitely.
Nicely trimmed.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, it's for the podcast. The non-recorded one.
Yeah. Yeah. So talk to, for any potential contestants that are listening to this, thinking, yeah, this is my year, I want to get involved. What's your advice to them, having both now been experienced judges for a while as well, obviously making the step up to chair in your respective competitions? What do you want to see from contestants this year?
Me and Mark have spoken awful lot. Our sort of attitude towards the competition is so, so similar. I'll let Mark obviously finish and say it from his perspective, but we're so focused on sort of flavour, really. Obviously, it has to be skill set, but you're gonna have to have a skill set to enter the competition, to be quite honest. So we do almost expect that to be the case. But yeah, flavour and just not to be over complex. You know, we don't want dishes that have fireworks attached to it and smoke and mirrors and all this. And it takes me half an hour to get a knife and fork into it. Do you know what I mean? Of course, that's not relative, but I think it's very important that people just focus purely on the flavour of the dishes and the cooking quality. You know, if it's obviously Mark's going to be choosing, which obviously I know, but I can't say. But as long as that's, you know, that's sourced correctly and equally cooked and seasoned and delivered with a garnish that's really suitable and sort of you know, really complements the dish. I think that's exactly what we both want, to be fair. And I think it's quite ironic that, you know, whenever we get interviewed, it's almost the same answer, because we do. I think it's very encouraging for chefs to come into. Yeah, obviously national or young chef this year, because we were so very similar.
Yeah. Mark, anything?
Yeah, I think exactly as Tom said, it's about the flavour. And let's be honest, you sit down, you've got a plate of food and you want it to be delicious. And ultimately, yeah, you want it to look beautiful, but you want it to taste amazing. You almost want to be surprised with the simplicity. Then you start eating it, you can taste the flavours and the complexity and the work that's gone into it. And you look at that plate of food and go, well, that's Tom. This is definitely Tom's plate of food.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that's the level you want.
Yeah.
And just come in confident and want it. You've got to really want it. You don't come in and be like, I'll give it a go. Come in, give it a go, and smash it.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what you want.
Yeah. Definitely.
Don't leave anything out there.
Well, yeah, it's an opportunity.
Enjoy it.
That's an under-talked about thing, actually, right? Because it can be a pressure.
Yeah, it's hard. Pressure place, but you know, you might nick your finger or whatever because you're a bit nervous to start
like the voice
off
of experience. Yeah.
Exactly. You always start with an easy job. You know, peel your shallots or something.
The job you don't need to be doing.
Yeah, exactly, and it's tough because you're in a different environment. You've got judges kind of watching, but I can assure you, like, the judges are watching from afar and they're there for advice as well.
Yeah.
You know, like, ask questions, whatever. But yeah, just be confident and
I had this conversation
represent with, yourself.
Yeah, with Danny, who just won a year gone by, I had a conversation with him around exactly what you just said there, is that, because you guys have got, you know, fantastic names in the industry, and there's not many people who won't know who you are who are in the industry, and that can be daunting. But equally, he said the thing that he found the most amazing thing about the whole experience was exactly what you just said there, which is that yes, they're here to judge you, but they're also there to get the best out of you. Yeah, and like, to get that level of help just takes the pressure off a little bit, because I'm guessing as judges you want to see the very best that people have got to offer.
Ultimately, we want a nice menu. We want to eat well on the day. It sounds silly, but
no, it doesn't.
You know, we want the guys to do well on the briefs. The briefs are almost set up to give us a delicious menu with some personality and, you know, with interpretation. You know, we're not. You know, I'm certainly not, and I don't think Tom is. We're not telling them what to do. We want interest. We want something exciting. But enjoy it.
Yeah. Final words, because we obviously have to go shortly, but just to give people hope out there, you guys are at the top of your game. Talk to me about the biggest muck-up of your career so far.
There's many, many, many clangers. God, personally, the biggest muck-up?
Becoming a chef.
Oh, God. I was younger. Where is it? I worked at this place. It was a one-star in the north. And we used to dry these mushrooms out for a mushroom cappuccino. I must have had about 12 trays, but they were only kind of half dry, and I was supposed to put them back in the oven to dry out. But I left them on top of the ovens overnight, and I think the ovens were running, so they like really slowly warmed up. So I woke up, I must have woke up at like 5 in the morning, and I lived about 40 minutes away. So I think about 6 o'clock, I was like, so I wasn't able to get in at 5 o'clock, but I just like absolutely flew down the mall. So he got in there like 6 or something, and it like opened the kitchen door, and it absolutely reeked. It smelled like wet dog. It was awful.
Oh, God.
I was grabbing him down, spilling on top of me. I was obviously young, but that wasn't a good day.
Well, you live and learn.
Yeah.
Didn't do that again.
Yeah, I lost 24 hours of work. God. Yeah.
Yeah, what about you, Tom?
To be honest, they all happen. I mean, you alluded to Mark cutting his finger. I remember chopping leeks, and I went right from my thumb with leeks, and it's like I literally had to go to A&E because it was that deep. And you do all little things that I've tripped up and dropped some stock on the floor. I've done everything. Do you know what I mean? I've sent the wrong things to the fucking wrong tables. Do you know what I mean? It's like they're all normal human things that you do. Like no one's exempt of making mistakes. I think I could answer from a business perspective. And to be fair, I mean, the first things when I opened upstairs, I said to Mark, I was like, Mark, any advice, just anything, just give me something. And he said, never be understaffed. He said, if there's two good guys going for the same job, just fucking employ them both.
Right.
And that was an incredible, I was genuinely, at the time, I was like, I can't bloody afford it, do you know what I mean? But like, genuinely, it's because, they don't always work out or vice versa. So something can happen and, you know, you still looked after. I think that's a good one to definitely remember. But also, it's to follow your gut and everything. I think that's one thing I've really learned in this industry is whatever feels right for you, don't listen. It's very easy. It's very difficult as well to block that out. It's very easy to look on social media more than ever now and, must be right. I must be doing something wrong. But remember, you can't taste anything on social media and you can't taste words and whatever they're telling you. So just stick to what you believe in and do it. And I think this competition rings true with that. Don't look on Instagram and think, look at a bloody beef dish and go, actually, I'm going to recreate that, because that isn't you.
Yeah.
And it probably isn't them, actually. Yeah, it probably isn't them either, to be quite honest. Because fucking hell, this guy eats out twice a week. Do you know what I mean? He's probably in every restaurant, fucking that's ever been. So, but no, we've seen it. We're also on social media. Do you know what I mean? We've seen it. We've probably tasted it. We actually want something new. We want something new. We just want you. And I've never met you before. Yeah. So I want your plate of food.
We want to be inspired, don't we?
Of course. Yeah. So even at Mark's level and my level and the experience is still we know we're going to see something we haven't, and hopefully this competition brings that up.
Yeah, excellent. Gents, there's loads more that I'd love to have spoken to you about, but time is not our friend today. But wishing you guys a really great experience through the competition. I'm sure it will be, and I'm sure we'll catch up at some point through the year to see how it all went.
Yeah. Lovely.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Well, that was a proper masterclass in perspective. Two chefs at the very top of their game, yet still talking about doubt, graft, and just wanting to cook delicious food. A huge thank you to Mark and Tom for sharing their time and their honesty. So if you're thinking about entering this year's competition, take their advice, cook your food, focus on flavour, and really just want it. We'll be back soon with another cracking conversation. Until then, look after yourselves, and we'll catch you next time.